And I ask that you would give your attention to our brother here. I ask that you hold him up in prayer. I know standing up here, it can be a burden sometimes. It can be taxing on your spiritually and emotionally. And sometimes the bearing the word is a burden in itself. Although we're happy to do it, I'm glad that my brother is here today. You know, even though there are only a few of us here, it doesn't diminish from the message that he has for us. So I ask that you would give him your attention and your prayers, my brother Kenor.
Thank you, Aaron. Good morning to each of you. Those who are live streaming, I greet you this morning. Looking at the congregation this morning, kind of feel like I'm in Yucatan, you know. Some places in Yucatan, we have a few people. Other places, we'll have 80 or 100 people. But it's good to be here. Aaron had mentioned in Sunday school prayer, that the words that the speaker this morning would utter would be from God. And that's our desire when we stand here. And in reality, if at the end of this service, God hasn't been present, then I failed. If I haven't spoken the words of God, I have failed. Whoever's standing here, we carry that to the end of our life. If at the end of our lives we haven't glorified God, in reality, we have failed our mission. In my ministry lately, I've noticed that I've been trying to keep it more personal between me and whoever's here and whoever's live streaming. And I have no idea who's in live stream this morning. It could be 1,000 people, I don't know, I doubt that, but, you know, I don't know. But try to keep it on a personal level. And it's with our relationship with God, more personal. I think our relationship needs to become a little more of a personal relationship. I don't like the expression, I'll be honest with you, I don't like the expression, I have a personal relationship with Christ. I for some reason, I don't really like that. But at the same time, it's a reality. We need to have a close relationship with Christ. So our service to God, over the past year, a little bit more than the past year, I really have been trying to change my relationship with God. More of a daily, hourly, more to the minute relationship with God than I've had perhaps before. Making changes, allowing God to, I hope, allowing God to touch my heart and my mind and make changes of the Spirit. Nothing drastic, perhaps, nothing momentous, but little things in my relationship, going to him perhaps more earnestly, more often for direction, because he cares. And that's one thing I found out over the past several months, is that he really does care for us as individuals. He cares about our souls. He cares about our lives. He cares about everything about his. Perhaps some things are more important to him than others. What kind of car I drive, I don't think is too important to God. But he's still mindful of it. Of course, my soul's well-being is paramount to God. So our goal, perhaps, should be to be closer to God. I've been literally asking God to change my heart, to renew his Spirit within me. You know, wanting to be closer to him, to allow him to be more part of my life. It's a work in process. will be until the day I draw my final breath. It'll be a work in process, my relationship with Christ. In reality, we fulfill those, I think everybody here in this room at least, have fulfilled our obligations for salvation. We have faith. We believe in God. We've repented. We've been baptized. We fulfilled our obligation. The Book of Mormon says that we've just begun our journey. Where we're at in this journey, we're really on the first day of the rest of our journey, and we need to endure to the end. So we're a work in process. We're a work in process with God. In reality, he's trying to develop our Christian character to be more Christ-like. That should be our goal, to be more Christ-like. I found in my journey that the little things are important to God. The little things in my life are important to God. Little things that I may have thought were unimportant and in my relationship, he kind of showed me that maybe they're more important than I realized. The amount of time I spend in prayer, the amount of time I spend in study, the amount of time I think about God. So what does God want in our relationship with him? What does he really want? And I'm going to turn to Mosiah, the first chapter. Familiar scripture, and I don't have many scriptures, and I don't plan to take a lot of time this morning. But I want us to think. Maybe this sermon is to get us thinking about our relationship with God. So Mosiah chapter 1, 119th, 120th verses, and it says, "For the natural man is an enemy to God. It has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord and becometh as a child." And I want to talk about that small statement there, "and becometh as a child. Submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child does submit to his father." See, take a little child. Little child. What does this child want? He refers to us as becoming children. So what does a child want? A child wants to please his parents. When they're younger, a child wants to please his parents. He wants to love him, and he wants to feel really protected and safe, and he wants to be appreciated. That little child, in his own mind, he wants to feel all these things, and he wants to please his parents. He really does. Do we want to please God? Now, sometimes that little child is kind of rebellious, you know. Any of us that have had children know that child is going to sometimes not want to do it. And we have to correct them. We have to put them in the right direction. And generally speaking, that child is going to feel remorseful, is going to feel bad. I failed my father. I failed my mother. Do we feel the same? Do we feel that I failed my father? I want his approval. I want to feel that love. I want to have that protection. I want to feel safe in his arms. So we need to want to submit. Perhaps sometimes unwillingly, because as a parent, God is going to correct us. But we will. If we truly want to serve God, to have his approval, perhaps. And I'm not saying to lift us up, right? God doesn't do that. But to feel approved in God's eyes, to feel that I'm okay with God, you know. We're willing to submit. Or do we like to do it our way? You know, Frank Sinatra had a song, "I Did It My Way." Tell you what, when we do it our way, guaranteed we're going to fail. We are. We're going to fail. We're going to fall flat in our face, and we're going to fail because we can't do it our way. So my past year has, I'm not going to say it hasn't been painful at all. It's been a good journey for me. And I can only speak for myself and my journey. It's been frustrating at times because sometimes I want to do it my way. And God says, no, slow down a little bit. Take time to think this, think about it. Take time to receive my answer. And perhaps as human beings, and I don't think I'm unique in this, sometimes as human beings, we're impatient. We want it, and we know, and it's partly because of our society that we live in today. I want it now. Give it to me now. A little child, I want it now. I want that ice cream now. I want that chocolate bar now. But no, you got to wait. And listen. Listen to your dad. Listen to your mother. We sometimes have to stop, and God wants us to listen to him. Not saying that have our own thoughts and desires and stuff is not bad. God, I think, wants us to do that, but in a controlled circumstance. You know, I still think this seems like a good way to do this. This seems the only reasonable way to do this. And then God, just that little voice in my head says, Ken, you're still trying to do it your way. Let's not do it your way. Wait and do it my way. And I don't think there's one of us that can't look at our lives and say, oh my goodness, God did that for me or did that to somebody else. It seemed like impossible. It seemed like an unlikely answer. It seemed like a sudden answer, perhaps. But we have to give up control. Any of us that have taught somebody to drive a car have found it very frustrating, scary. You're sitting in the passenger seat, and I think I've literally got a hole in the passenger seat of my vehicles because I used the brake. You know, put the brake, you know, stop, slow down. You know, you want to keep in control of that car. But God's in control. And we have to let him do the driving, you know. And so me as a teacher of my children driving a car, I have to give up control of that car and allow them to do it. God sometimes does the same with us. He allows us to do it. Make a mistake? Yeah. My kid put a dent in the car. But they learn from it. And sometimes God allows us to put a dent in our car, but we have to learn from it. And as a driver, I have to listen to my co-pilot. I have to listen to him. You're going too fast. That's not the right way to go. You know, you're veering off the path that I have set. And it's funny. I thought of this actually in our Sunday school class this morning when they made little changes in the 300 AD. Constantine, they made little changes in how they were thinking. And the thought came to my mind, it got two roads. And the right road is straight ahead. And then it got this other road. It's off by less than a half a degree. Very slight. And for perhaps miles and miles and miles, you're driving beside each other. But if you go on long enough, guess what? You're going to get further and further apart, and you're going down the wrong road. And sometimes that's what God's trying to tell us. Don't do that, because eventually it's going to draw you further and further away. May not be noticeable in the beginning, but keep going long enough. So don't do it your way. Don't do it your way is what he's telling you, telling me. Give me control. Do it my way. So, and tell you something. Perhaps you probably already know this. Maybe you don't. I think you already do. It's not about us. This whole thing is not about Kenor. This whole thing is not about any of us. It's all about God. It's all about God. That His name be glorified. Matthew 5:16. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's why we have good works. That's why we want people we want to set a good example to show people Christ, that they can glorify God. Not that Aaron can be glorified, or Stephen, or Haley, or Kenor. Not that we can be glorified, but that God through us will be glorified. We can do all the right things, but for all the wrong reasons. We can. If what we want to do is not to bring glory to God and to yield to His leading and to do His will, perhaps, and wrong reasons always involve self. There's some ulterior motive to what we want to do. I want to do this, but in reality, maybe it's for me. But in the end, if we do all the right things for the wrong reasons, in the end, it may be for nothing. It may be for nothing. So our lives need to bring glory to God. God wants. In reality, God demands that we give Him the glory. He's a jealous God. He is a jealous God. He doesn't want us to give glory to anybody else. He doesn't want us to give glory to ourselves, to a fellow man, to anything or anybody else. He deserves our glory, the glory that we could give Him. He deserves it. Why? Because He's God. He's God. Eons and eons and eons of time ago, before time even became a concept, there was God. And He spoke and made everything. He deserves our glory. He deserves all the glory that we can give Him just for the fact that He forgives us, for the fact that He loves us, for the fact that He has patience with us, for the fact that He sent His Son, and in His mercy, and in His blood, and His sacrifice gave us hope. He deserves all the glory that we can ever give Him. So our lives need to bring glory to God. You know, Christ is the example of that, you know. And I mentioned it in a couple sermons before. Everything He did from the moment He was born to the moment that He died and was resurrected and returned to His Father, His life gave glory to God. The shepherds in the field, when they announced the birth of Christ, they gave glory to God. And at the very end, when this whole creation is brought to a close, Christ is going to give God the glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 28. And this is after the millennial reign. This is after everything. And perhaps at the time when there's a new heaven and a new earth. And here's a statement. In the 28th verse, it says, when all things shall be subdued unto Him, then shall the Son also Himself be subject unto Him that put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. God gets the glory. Christ gives God the glory. So in reality, it's all about God. In Moroni chapter 7. Moroni chapter 7. I'm going to read two verses out of this. And there's a whole set of verses. But I think these two verses apply to us today. Moroni chapter 7, verse 10. Wherefore all things which are good cometh of God. And we know that. I'm not telling anybody anything that we don't already know. All things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. Black and white. If it's good, it's of God. If it's evil, it's of the devil. For the devil is an enemy unto God. And sometimes we may forget that. The devil is an enemy to God because he works in such subtle ways we don't realize it, perhaps. He puts us on this path that's less than a half a degree off, but eventually it's going to lead us away and away and away. So the devil is an enemy to God and fighteth against him continually, 24/7, and inviteth and enticeth to sin and to do that which is evil continually. But behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good is, and to love God and to serve him is inspired of God. Let's make this personal, this scripture personal, that when we're invited to do good, it's God inviting us to do good. But if we're invited to do evil, and we are, every day, I don't think there's a day goes by that we don't have the opportunity to serve Satan. No matter what it is. And really, it's a sermon in itself, but I want us to think about the things in our lives that invite us to sin. Things that we may not even realize are doing that. Honest questions. We need to ask ourselves honest questions. And speaking from my last year, it's personal to me. I had to ask God some honest questions. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? And God would say, hey, slow down. Maybe slow down. Did you ever stop and think that this is inviting you to go the wrong way? You know, the scripture says, you know, that Satan teaches a man not to pray. And probably every one of us have gotten up in the morning, we're late for work, we're late for school, and guess what we don't do? If we pray, if we stop and pray, we're going to be late for school. We're going to be late for a job, and I'll do it later. It's just a small example. Sometimes that later never comes. And that's how Satan works. Oh, we can do it later. We can do it tomorrow. But God wants us to do it now. Are my thoughts, my desires, are your thoughts, your desires about God? Totally, totally, 100% about God. Or sometimes about me. Are sometimes my thoughts and desires about me? And we all have thoughts and desires. And we need them. We need to have them. But why? What is the purpose behind what I desire to do? What is the goal that I have in my heart, in my mind, for serving God? Is it for God? Is it for him? Or is it about me? This is the way it should be done. This is the way that God wants it done. Are our thoughts and our desires about God and what he wants? So, I expect we all have these thoughts and these desires. We want to serve God. There's not one of us here, not one of us in live streaming, that don't want to serve God. I hope we all want. That's our goal. That's our desire. That's what we want to do. But there's a but in that desire. We must do it according to God's will. I guess that maybe that's the point of my sermon this morning. We have to do everything according to God's will. Thankfully, as I get older, I do this less and less and less. But when I was younger, I always thought I had to help God. Okay, this is what God wants. I don't want to wait. I can help him. I can do it. And generally, I failed. You know, I failed, and it slowed me down. So we have to do it according to God's will and timing. In the real estate world, location, location, location. You hear that all the time. In God's world, a lot of times it's timing, timing, timing. It's in his timing, and in his, when he wants it done, how he wants it done, you know. How come we say, oh God, how come you're not doing this? Or, you know, there's all these Seed of Joseph in Phoenix. Why don't we have a room full of your people? You know, 4 million Mayan live in Guatemala. We have no contacts there. Sometimes I say, why, God? But it's in his timing. Eventually, when it's his timing and in his way, it'll happen. I have to have patience and wait. Wait for God. So we can look at our lives and say, this is what I want. It may be 100% good desire. This is what I want, this is how, what I want to do. But then we say, well, this is how we need to do it. I'm going to do it this way. This is how I want to see it done. This seems the best way to accomplish it. Best way for who? Best way for me? Or best way for God? And that's, we need to set aside our own thoughts, our own desires, our own ambitions perhaps, and focus on God's will, God's timing. Not saying not to have desires. We need, he wants us. He wants the people with desires to serve and to do things for him. But he also wants us to do it in his way, in his time. So we need to ask God, is this what you want? Is this how you want it done? How? Okay, and so God has told us, you know, this is what I want you to do. This is, you know, this is what it is. But how do you want it done? How do you want it done? I read this book and a lot of interesting thoughts in it. And one of them was that as human beings, we make decisions on our five senses, you know, the sight and the touch and the smell and the feeling, the hearing, the speaking. We make decisions on those five senses. So we have these personal desires, these personal feelings, but the Lord wants us to make our decisions on the Spirit of God. Set aside these senses and make our decisions on God. Don't let our feelings, don't let the senses that God has given us, don't let our human nature interfere and cloud our communication with God. Make sure that we can communicate and that we can hear, that we can hear. Sometimes we pray, oh gosh, I'm not getting an answer. You know, and it's been 20 minutes, I haven't got an answer. It's been a year, it's been 10 years, it's been whatever. I haven't gotten an answer. And we say, well, why? Perhaps we're not ready. Perhaps we're not ready to receive the answer. God has to prepare us to receive the answer. You know, you send a kid to school the first day of school. He's there, and the second day he's not going to graduate. Eventually he will, but he has to learn. We have to learn. We have to allow God to teach us, prepare us for the answer.